A very pleasant good morning to each of you. So thankful for your presence this morning. I've been encouraged by the assembling thus far, and I hope that you have as well. Thankful if you're visiting with us. Hope that you'll return anytime you're able, and I hope you'll open your Bibles with us as we look at the Word of God for just a bit. This morning, I want to talk to you about priorities. Merriam-Webster defines the word priority as the quality or state of being prior. It's something that comes before. The Encyclopedia Britannica says it's something that is more important than other things that needs to be done or dealt with first. Very similar to that, the Collins Dictionary says much the same thing, except it says it is the most important thing you have to do or deal with. Now, everybody understands what a priority is. Consider for just a moment your weekly or monthly trip to the grocery store, assuming you still go to the grocery store. Most people don't start out by just showing up at the grocery store. You check your budget, you make a list, you eat something so you're not going to eat at the store, you check, you make sure you got gas in the car, you double check, have I got my list, and then you go to the store. We understand there's some priorities about everything in life. We can see that in construction very clearly. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28 says, "Which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it?" That's got to come before. We understand. Jehovah is a God of priorities. God was ready to enter into a covenant with the Israelites. And he does that beginning in the middle of chapter 19, basically, followed by the giving of the law in Exodus chapter 20. But in chapter 19 and in verse 10 of Exodus, he tells Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." So the priority was the people need to prepare themselves first, and then we can enter into the covenant. When the law of Moses did become established, God said the high priest was to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. There was priority to that. We know from Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that God had the gospel preached first to the Jews and then the Gentiles. God saw there was priority in that, and the Apostle Paul understood that principle. And as he went around as the apostle, everywhere he went, he went to the Jews first and preached in the synagogues for 2, 3, or 4 weeks before he would then go and teach the gospel to the Gentiles in that place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, God, through the Holy Spirit, commanded that in the worship assembly all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. There was purpose to what God is doing. Things that are important. Even in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, when Christ returns, God has prioritized that the dead in Christ will rise first. So if we can see how God has priorities, I believe it's even more certain that we need to ensure our own priorities. Some people have wrong priorities. I'd like you to read a passage with me from Luke chapter 9. And beginning in verse 57, Luke chapter 9, and beginning in verse 57, the passage says, "As they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father.' And he said to him, 'Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God.' And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, following Jesus is the correct priority. But both of these examples have men wanting to do something before they followed him. That means it was of a more important thing to them. One wanted to bury his father, the other one say goodbye to family. Jesus indicates they're both incorrect. If we're going to follow him, we can't be looking back. Those things are no longer the most important things for us. So to be fit for the kingdom means I have to have this correct priority in my life about following Jesus. Now turn with me just a few pages over to Luke chapter 14. And let's read another example, beginning in verse 16. Luke 14 and verse 16, a man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour he sent a slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I've married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. The master said to the slave, go out into the highways and come along and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. So it's not difficult for us to see the wrong priorities in those who had refused the invitation. They offered excuses for why they did not attend. These other things were more important to them. They didn't want to participate in the big dinner for that reason. There are some who allow worldly things to take priority over spiritual things. In Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 12, we see this principle. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Matthew 13 and verse 22, the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, becomes unfruitful. So this happens to newer Christians, but also to the one who's been a Christian a long time, who does not examine himself or make corrections in their thinking and behavior. The pursuit of wealth is a very strong priority in our country, more so than serving God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Jesus himself teaches on this principle in Luke 16 and verse 13, saying, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. One has to have a priority over the other. Wealth, for many, is the priority. God is second. In Luke chapter 12 and 15, Jesus says, not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of possessions. That's not what life is about. One reason I think so many struggle with this worldly desire is that we share the worries of the world and we never have enough. We're never satisfied. More is thought to be better. When the reality is, that we just read in 1 Timothy 6, is that with the wealth comes more temptations and problems and headaches, responsibilities. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Maybe that's where we have failed to make application in our own lives. I'm impressed that the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:11 that I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And he talks about having an abundance, and he talks about having not much. And he learned to be content in both of those. And I think one of the reasons for that is because spiritual things were the priority for Paul and not the physical things. These worries that we have of the world, Jesus says, choke the word. Matthew 6 has Jesus teaching about how worry does nothing to help us in this life or the life to come. No matter if those worries are about finances or health or friendships or anything else, it doesn't do us any good to worry about it. He says in verse 27 of Matthew 6, who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life? What did the worry accomplish for you? But he says we're worth much more to God than all of the other things that he's created. The lilies of the field are clothed with beauty. But he sees that they are taken care of. Their needs are met. And he's going to do the same for us. So Jesus then says, Matthew 6 and 31, do not worry then. But we struggle with that, don't we? In your life, are worldly things of a higher priority than God? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, it tells us that some are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Very quickly in my mind, I jump to James 4 and verse 3, where he said, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. We live in a pleasure-driven society. Most human societies are. We have industries in our country called the entertainment industry and the vacation industry and video game industry. You see what I'm talking about? We're living for our pleasures. Think of all of the pleasures that people spend money on. Drinking and drugs and second homes and hobbies and fashion and jewels and automobiles and planes and going out to eat. People find pleasure in all sorts of things. We live in a society in which we think we need to be entertained almost every single moment. Sounds like lovers of pleasure, doesn't it? If we can examine ourselves and our level of loving of pleasures, how does that compare with our love of God? Which is the priority in our life? Some people are more concerned about family than they are about God. I heard a poll on the AM radio this past Monday morning that said, time with family is the number one priority for adults in America. Time with family. And it wasn't just a little bit, it was more than double than the next closest statistic, which was job. God was on the list, he's number four. There's more concern about family than God. Jesus tells us that's the wrong priority in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. There he says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's not that I don't love my family, but he has to have the priority, not the family. Some folks are focused on popularity and prestige. more than they are on the truth of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and in verse 42, John 12 and verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." Now, brethren, if you can do it, you keep verse 42 strong in your mind and compare that to the woke society we live in and how some people are fearful of being persecuted for doing what is right according to God, and so they're going to keep their mouth shut. And you're not going to say what God says. We're not going to behave like God says we're going to behave. We're not going to be the light of the world because I love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. We've got our priorities all wrong when that's the case. Some would also rather spend time with the worldly than with the people of God. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" There's many other passages that teach a similar kind of concept. We understand 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says to encourage one another and build up one another. That means I've got to be spending some time with brethren, communicating with them. Now, we're not to have no contact with those in the world. 1 Corinthians 5 makes that very clear. We can't go out of the world and seclude ourselves and not have any contact. We're supposed to be the light of the world. But it's wrong for us to choose to be with the worldly instead of being with the faithful. Many choose to not come to assemblies, not come to studies, not come to do something to encourage someone else. Or I'm going to choose to not go to the gospel meeting, or I'm going to choose to do something else. I'm going to choose to not do those things because I'm going to go spend some time with my worldly friends over here and do this. That's a wrong priority. I believe that's what Scripture would teach us. Well, how then can we place our priorities where they belong? Turn in your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians 8 and look at verse 5. How do we place our priorities where they belong? In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, Paul says, "They first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." The first thing you have to do is give yourself to the Lord. And that's not a terribly difficult concept for us to understand. Galatians 3 and 26 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And verse 29 goes on to say, "You belong to Christ." We give ourselves to Him when we obey the gospel. Ephesians 6 and in verse 6 says, "We voluntarily become slaves of Christ." And in a similar way, Romans 8 and 19 says, "We become a slave of righteousness." I'm choosing to do that. The last half of 1 Corinthians 6 is about how our bodies are members of Christ. He goes on in chapter 6, in verse 19, to say, "You are not your own," meaning that we give our body to the Lord to serve Him in righteousness, denying the sinful lusts of the body. Even more clearly, perhaps, Galatians 5 and 24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So the decision to give ourselves to the Lord has to become before any other decisions. And we're only going to make that decision when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And love God for offering us a plan of salvation through which we can be forgiven. Based on that belief, we're going to choose to obey the gospel. And it's then that we clothe ourselves with Christ and give up our will to adopt the will of God, the will of Christ. We give ourselves wholly to Him. Therefore, those who have given themselves to the Lord will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6 and 33. A new priority in our life, a number one in importance. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus says it has to be first. That's my priority. Why? Because I've given myself to the Lord. Spiritual priorities then become stronger than any of the earthly priorities. We imitate God in seeking first His righteousness, longing to be holy and to please Him. 1 Timothy 4 and 8 says, bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So the first thing we must do is give ourselves to the Lord. How do we place our priorities where they belong? Consider Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 25. Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 25, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. If we want spiritual priorities in our life, it first must start on the inside. Many who want to serve God understand they need to clean up their life and stop sinning. And that's very true, but you're never going to do that until you first clean your heart and deal with the heart. Becoming what God desires does not start by cleaning the outside, thinking that kind of righteousness will then move inside and develop in my heart. It doesn't work that way. It starts in the heart. And when the heart becomes cleaned, it will then move outward and affect all of my behavior. Matthew 5 and 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I ask you to examine yourself. Is your heart pure? We sometimes are concerned about our drinking water. And we buy that bottle and it says, pure drinking water. We mean all the contaminants have been removed. Or virtually all of the contaminants removed. It's very, very pure. The pure in heart will see God. Not that we're sinless, but that we're serving God from the heart. The commitment is full. The desire is very strong. In 2 Timothy 2 and 20, it says to flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, hope, love, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. The pursuit of righteousness, faith, love, and peace happens because of that purity of heart. We want to be that way. We pursue the things of God. Now, I think even very important on this point is 1 Timothy 1. And in verse 5, in his introduction to this letter to Timothy, he talks about the gospel. And he says, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. All of these are on the inside. And that's what the goal of the apostles' teaching is. It's the goal of the gospel. It's the goal of our teaching. Genuine love only occurs when that heart is right. How can we place our priorities where they belong? Well, I would next point to Luke chapter 6 and in verse 41. Luke 6 and verse 41, Jesus says, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck that is, take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." Now, a moment ago I said we don't start by cleaning the outside. No, we start with the heart. But yes, we do need to clean the outside. We need to take the log out of our eye. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning." Can't get much clearer than that. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." That sanctification is about being holy. We cannot be righteous until we stop sinning, and that has to be a priority. To be holy as God is holy through obedience to the gospel. And if needed, through prayer seeking God's forgiveness as a Christian. How can we place our priorities where they belong? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." He does not say, be mostly faithful, be somewhat faithful, be sometimes faithful. Nor does he say, be faithful till you retire. He says, be faithful unto death. My priority has to be obedience the rest of my life. When I adopt that thinking into my heart, it becomes a burning passion for God to give us the crown of life. And therefore, it becomes easier to live in faithfulness to what God says. I'll not be given that crown of life unless I am faithful unto death. So I have to keep my faith alive. It drives me. It pushes me. It demands more of me as I age. Faith motivates obedience. I believe in God and His promises of that crown of life. And for those who truly have given themselves first to the Lord, who have cleaned their heart and stopped sinning, faithfulness is not just easier, it is the passion of life. And some folks wonder, man, I wish I had that passion. Take care of the first three, and it will become your passion. Colossians 1:10 says, "We're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects." So our personal spiritual priority must be to be forgiven and saved by God. At this point, I'd like to look at Acts chapter 8 as our concluding thought. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Philip was preaching to a eunuch from Ethiopia. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now we can see in this short reading that belief was a priority that had to be in place before the baptism. We can also see in this text that the confession occurs before he was baptized, that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. In Acts 16 and verse 31, the jailer was told to believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and all your household. The belief had to come first. It's a priority. In Acts chapter 2, just a few pages earlier, in verse 37, the people heard the truth about Jesus, and when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart. And Peter said, and the rest of the apostles said, repent. It's the first thing they were told. Now that they believe, the priority was repentance. You need to decide to change. You need to turn away from sin. You need to turn to God. Repentance is a priority. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. I'm not saved at the point I repented, but it leads to salvation. Baptism is the point at which salvation occurs. That reading in Acts 2 went on after being told to repent, saying, each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is for the purpose of forgiving sin. As 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism now saves you. It is an appeal to God for the good conscience. Good because I know I've been forgiven by God. Now those priorities are seen in the example of the life of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. In Acts 9, he saw the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he became a believer. His repentance is seen in his changed behavior, and that immediately he went into Damascus and did not persecute the Christians there, which had been his plan. Instead, Acts 9 and verse 9 says he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. And in Acts 9 and verse 11, God said that Saul was praying. When Ananias comes to Saul, the priority is easily seen in Acts 22 and verse 16. Why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And he does so, and immediately he begins confessing Christ and teaching to others. Jesus is the Son of God. If you've not done those things, they have to be your priority. To the point of baptism for the forgiveness of sin, that's when we become the child of God. That's when we can become holy because our sins have been forgiven. Well, what about the first people who obeyed the gospel? What's the first thing said about them in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 42? It says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Perhaps as a Christian you see yourself that you have an impure heart or there's a log coming out of your eye. There's a failure to be devoted as you ought. Maybe you've not given yourself completely to God, meaning you've chosen to not be as involved in spiritual things. You don't give all your effort to faithfulness and righteousness and service to God. Do we then anticipate and look forward to receiving the crown of righteousness that will be given to those who are faithful unto God? Where needed, I would encourage you and implore you to repent of sin. Stop sinning. And do what God says is right. What are your priorities? If the only thing you remember me saying today is that, then you've got something to chew on and to contemplate. Do you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you need the forgiveness of your sins as a child of God and encouragement from the saints. Make it your priority today to be saved. If we can assist you, come forward now, stand and sing to encourage you.